This is a message for Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar members and other white nationalists or paleoconservatives or anyone that cares about the indigenous white rabbits of Europe. Since doing this podcast, I do a great deal of speculation on the future. Some will come true, some will not. But what has become obvious over the reason for this particular podcast, which will not have a traditional introduction, will not have a traditional ending that I normally have with music and an intro, is that our enemy has turned on a particular machine, and that machine is their New World Order machine. And once they decide to turn it on, there really is no turning it off. In other words, they can't back out of whatever's going on in Egypt. So if events don't transpire their way, there's no going back as they head into this war with Iran. But over the past year, it's become obvious that they're turning on their machine slowly but surely. And now, of course, it's going full blast. Where it goes, we'll have to see. But old Bob Whitaker has a tendency to be seven moves out against out on the mortals. You know, mortals are reading his columns, and he's about seven moves out on us most of the time. He's not 100% bulletproof, but he sees things a certain way. And over the past year, he's written several articles, and I'm going to spotlight three and read three to you in particular about basically don't lose the victory or prepare for the win. And he's talking about, or he sees most likely certain events transpiring and us being in the catbird seat and having to deal with people that have the legacy of our genocide on their hands. Maybe their grandfather invested in something or their father invested in something that's now dead, their father's now dead and they invested in something and they basically invested in our genocide. Now obviously you can't put the family on trial and all that type of stuff. There is no international law for that. But there are things you can do, and he's talked about his particular approach. Now, immediately I get tons of emails when he puts up these things about what is he talking about, what does he actually see, because, I mean, what about the Jews, what about this, what about that. He's about seven moves out on us mortals. Let's put it to you that way. And let me read the pieces, and then I'm going to give you my two cents. But I think it's necessary for you to know these things because there may come a morning in the near future where these things are necessary for you to have read or for you to have racing through the back of your mind. So let's get started. And afterwards, I will comment. And this has been going on for the past year. Old Bob Whitaker has been doing this. And let me read the first piece. The first piece is, don't lose the victory. And I will post these on my Twitter and you can read the comments afterwards. I'm not actually going to read the comments afterwards on this particular podcast. I'm going to give you my 10 cents after I get done reading these, but these are important for you to understand. They're important for you to maybe have printed out somewhere so you understand where he's coming from and where he's going to go with this. One morning in the near future or in the distant future when certain events may or may not transpire. And this is don't lose the victory. In the real world, there is a saying, if you want to drop a subject, appoint a committee on it. It is very important to me that when the mantra takes hold, you will never let them forget the anti-white campaign. Right now, the Internal Revenue Service pays a reward to anyone who exposes tax fraud. For the least indication, like where to look, you get 1% of the total take. If you put the whole case in their lap, you can get up to 5%. Before the libertarian howl goes up, let me remind you that the police cannot work without informants. People do not write letters blaming 90-year-old men for Nazi atrocities because a committee sends them to do it. They do it for money. Norman Finkelstein coined the term the Holocaust industry, but it is not news to any of us. And it works. I will be dead long since, but this is critical to me. I am trying to save my race, and if you are not practical about it, you will be heading down the old respectable conservative liberals or fine people honestly mistaken line. We have lived our lives under the anti-white regime that never takes the attitude toward any pro-white, and it works. The active anti-whites will be mostly dead by then, but their hundreds of billions or trillions in assets will still be here. For the next century and more, anyone who looks up and finds racial crimes the way Eli Wiesel does with Nazis will get his percentage of the take. Above genocide against us will be a crime that will be paid for on and on and on. Informers will be looking this up pretty well forever. And that money pouring in will be used to tell about it, to warn against it, to encourage whites to have children. We learn nothing from the Cold War because it is militantly forgotten and forgiven. We live in a post-Hitler world pushing white genocide because it is not forgotten. If white leaders can refuse to use the mantra, I can easily see them taking the easy way out and joining the establishment with all forgotten and forgiven. They would be happy there and join in the steady slide back into anti-white action precisely as post-Cold War America is sliding back into socialism. Like America, we might not lose a war, but we always lost the peace afterwards. There is a reason for that. Don't do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. When you win the war this time, you must continue it. Or when you win the war is precisely the time you must continue it, or you will lose it again. Paid informers for traitors, never forget. And this is an important piece. If you read nothing that old Bob does, read this piece. Put it in the back of your head one morning. Let's go on to the next one. And these will be up my Twitter. And he's published these periodically over the last, let's say, year. This is from Brian. Senator Edward M. Kennedy offered to work in close concert with high-level Soviet officials to sabotage President Reagan's re-election efforts and to arrange for congenial American press coverage of the General Secretary Yuri Andropov according to a 1983 KGB document. Specifically, Kennedy offered to have representatives of the largest television companies in the U.S. contact UV Andropov for an invitation to Moscow for an interview. The idea would be for the Soviet leader to make an in-run around Reagan with a direct appeal to the American people. Kennedy suggested that Walter Cronkite, Barbara Walters, and Elton Rawl, the president of the board of directors for ABC, be considered for interviews with Andropov in Moscow. He also asked the KGB to consider having lower-level Soviet officials, particularly the military, take part in television interviews inside the U.S. where they could convey peaceful intentions. And then Bob comments, BBG had been a bit quiet. He didn't back me up on remembering the old gun control debate I mentioned, but surely he remembered the all-out push to the left as the USSR was going down. It was the nuclear freeze movement. What Kennedy called Star Wars was the last nail in the coffin of the USSR. At that point, all the USSR had in the world was nuclear arsenal. Reagan announced he was going to set up a defense against it. What all of us knew was the USSR has stolen every iota of its nuclear technology. Even Sputnik was sent up on missiles we had in our warehouse. That was in 1958 when the CIA was announcing that Russian economy was barreling forward. 30 years later, it was common knowledge that it was total and stupid failure. All it had to call itself a superpower was its missiles. Its submarines were sinking out of sheer incompetence. A nuclear defense system or even the possibility of one made the USSR's superpower status look ridiculous. Reagan knew this. In fact, to show how clearly he knew it, the whole nuclear defense idea was developed in a conference he had with science fiction writers. The entire left openly came out howling protest against it, in the same words used by the Soviet leadership. There was no longer any secret how desperate the left was to save communist rule. In fact, this campaign ended the highly successful Superman movie series. The last Superman movie had the Man of Steel himself enforcing the nuclear freeze. Even the movie audience, that piece of propaganda was just too blatant. Kennedy's people had been marching with the Viet Cong flag in the 60s, and everybody McCarthy said was a communist is now found on the KGB list of American agents. Anybody finding an old Nazi list of agents working with them would be front page news today. Actually, just as Kennedy's people were on the streets with the Viet Cong flags and the Hanoi Jane was shooting down imaginary planes in Hanoi, many of the people so loudly defended by liberals in the 50s announced that they were communists in the 60s, when that was a thing to be. The only reason some of the people on McCarthyite list haven't been discovered is because no one spends time going through the enormous KGB list. Now imagine that we suddenly discovered huge Gestapo list of Americans working with the Nazis 70 years ago. The entire world would be there in a rush. The left does this and we don't. That's because leftists are pros. That is why I keep trying to tell you that as the mantra takes hold, do not let bygones be bygones. Every company, every fortune must be investigated. Those whose money come from companies who pushed white genocide should be fined. Above all, there should be no statute of limitations on this. If you have not learned how anti-whites have used guilt to ram the most incredible agenda in the history down our throats, turn yourself in at the nearest retarded home. If they are waking up in a cold sweat at night fearing what their limousine liberal grandfathers did that could have the IRS at their doors in the morning, they will be going out of their way to make sure the suicidal urge whites are cursed with is fought against. Make them pay or the disease will come again. And of course, if you listen to my previous piece, Follow the White Rabbit 60, I talk about, believe it or not, I talk about a real episode from an attaché of theirs. What's interesting, it just occurred to me, I just talked about, or there was a piece I had done in January that stuck in Follow the White Rabbit 60 about our enemy gearing up for their New World Order in the late 80s, early 90s, right before, right as the Berlin Wall came down. I talked about that. So when you're listening to Follow the White Rabbit 60, if you listen to that part, and I did it about a month ago, I just happened to stick it in Follow the White Rabbit 60. You'll understand, and you can go to my Twitter and read this piece, what Bob is actually talking about with Kennedy and all the liberals in America as the Berlin Wall came down and Soviet rule ended. They were trying to go for one of their deals again. Read it in context of what I talked about in Follow the White Rabbit 60 if you're a listener of mine. But by and large, what you need to understand from this piece is that there can be no statute of limitations on this. If there is a statute of limitations, the disease will come back. And of course, Bob is talking about the future, that morning when you may need pieces like this. So we've talked about this particular piece about the all the Soviet agenda in America, and once the mantra takes hold, which is now taking hold, do not let bygones be bygones, and above all, no statute of limitations. We're also going to go on the last piece. The last piece was just written. It's called Old Blighty. Let's learn from the mental torture we have suffered. And this piece is probably one of his better ones because he goes out of his way to talk about exactly his ideals on this particular scenario, what we will call the morning after or something. What exactly he plans on doing and his ideals, but they come along the same pattern. And this is just recent. This is up on his blog in the last day or so, and it is now February 6, 2011, and we were in the end game. And listeners of mine know exactly what that means. And I will read this to you, then I'm going to comment afterwards. When I wrote about no specific policy demands until we are allowed to speak openly about the whole subject of white genocide, Old Blighty asked, "Are you saying those of us that want genocide tribunals should not discuss our desire for them? I understand if that is the case. Practical politics requires discipline. Let me say first, the word tribunals gives anti-whites too much ammunition to call us dangerous. When I precluded the word revolution, I really meant just to be sure you aren't giving them ammunition. In many cases, what we are doing cannot be called anything but revolution. The words are our ammunition. Just be sure it doesn't blow up in your face. Almost every mistake I advise you against is one I've made over and over again ad nauseum. Frankly, the reason a warning bell goes off inside me when we discuss what will happen to them after, because I like it too much." One thing that most people do not realize is that people like me and BBG have been flayed mentally for a half a century. We were not allowed to reply. There is a term for that. It's called mental torture. I have had to curb my temper all this time. Some conservatives who blandly agreed to get rid of my race, I had to treat as if I respected him if our cause was to survive. After a lifetime of mental torture, it is a little hard not to love the ideal of the other side getting theirs. For some of us who have suffered mental torture, it may be a necessary relief. I have thought a lot about what the punishment should be, although it is not to do what the enemy does, as a lot of people like to say. In this case, we could take the whole page right out of their book. My ideal is that we should make their heirs and survivors, those billionaires and those large companies, pay money for what is being done. Think about it. Big, loud tribunals have a limited lifespan, but rewards for informants of just 1 to 2% of that money they bring in will last forever. I am very serious about this. You can take money from rich people more or less indefinitely. Big money, big, 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 big money. Fines are not considered punishment the same way the word tribunal implies. I love the idea of a future where they live like we do, never knowing when someone is going to get their heirs of one of their ancestors who put a paid ad in the New York Times and argue that they therefore responsible for the whole history of that publication. Informers are going to make arguments like that, and we will sit back and help them have their fun. The entire history of the anti-white movement will be known to everybody without our saying a word. We can pay off the national debt just as a start. With all the Gateses and their like involved, the whole history of the whole thing will be exposed daily. The point is that they want us to sound like totalitarians because every time someone proposes a totalitarian regime, they point to other tyrannies. But cutting taxes by nailing race traitors is not bloody. It is more of a civil action than criminal one. But those of us who have suffered years of mental torture are well aware that a straight prison sentence can be a lot kinder than spending your entire life wondering when someone somewhere is going to come down on you. There is even a certain joy in being a martyr to a cause, but we will not give them that. We will just turn a lot of billionaires into millionaires. You can't attach a Nazi label to that, but it is far, far more permanent under its own steam, and it will never go away. This is a lesson I got out of a lifetime of mental torture. We don't jail people. We don't shoot people. We just make sure the dread lasts their entire lives. Liberals did that to us, and it is very effective. And this piece, again, is titled Old Blighty, Let's Learn from Mental Torture We Have Suffered. And it comes along the same line that he's been talking the last year. And a lot of people will email me and say, what about the Jews? What about this group? What about that group? Well, you have to understand when Bob writes anything, whether it be about dirty bomb attacks, he gives chills across the planet because he might see something happening that we don't yet. But these pieces are preparation for Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar for a future, for one morning when you might not be dealing with Jews. Maybe Jesus will come and cut their heads off. One morning when most of our problems that we view of today as a problem go away, and we have to deal with descendants of traitors and things that could not be handled in any traditional way. And Bob's talking about a way to make this go long term, to make sure this is never forgotten, a practical way. And also you have to also consider that I don't think it's by accident he's written in the last year, and this is just my two cents. Once our enemy turns on their New World Order machine, and that's what you see in Egypt. Once our enemy decides to go to war with Iran, and that's what you see starting. That's what you've seen starting on my particular podcast. I've walked you through that. It's a whole different world, and there is no turning it off. There is no turning it off. So he's preparing for a future that we may not yet see. You have to think this through when he's writing these things. But I want you to know about these. I want you to know about this because you may be faced with one morning that certain elements of the American elite or European elite are running around trying to buy white nationalists, and they're doing it for a particular reason. They're already starting to talk to certain segments. They're worried about some of these mornings. They're worried about some of these different pieces Bob has written and this no statute of limitation stuff. Are we talking about necessarily guilty parties? Not necessarily. If you're an heir, you're not necessarily guilty, but you are. I mean, you couldn't hang them in tribunals. In this podcast, I made it very clear, and I'll make it clear again, that there are certain parties on this planet that won't stop until certain elements are put down permanently in Anglosphere. And I am very, very specific about that. And when it comes to the Jewish elites, the Rockefeller and Rothschild, I don't even worry about them because they've signed their own bill of goods, and the universe is on the eve of dealing with them. What Bob is talking about as well after that. But the Europeans, in my opinion, prior to these events over the last year, prior to them putting their New World Order machine in motion to go to war with Iran and all that type of stuff, have threatened everything in the world, including tribunals and everything else. For what reason, we won't know until afterwards, but in my opinion, it's to put them in a bad situation to force their hand as they go for their ring of power, as we call it, as they go for their New World Order and their war. But Bob is talking about seven moves ahead. Bob is seven moves ahead, and those moves can happen very, very quickly, and he's preparing you to win something. That's not what you're really used to doing. You're not used to someone preparing you for that type of thing, and I'm very explicit in these things. But once they turn on this machine, there's no going back, and that's why he's writing these pieces, I'm assuming. You know, I'm reading into things, but he doesn't say things for no reason on the blog. And so that's really what he's preparing you for. Now, do I think the Europeans will call tribunals? Obviously, if you're Putiput and you've got Khodorkovsky in jail next to a nuclear waste dump for the rest of his life, basically, someone like that is not going to hesitate to do what's necessary. It doesn't matter what we want in America at all. That's one of the things that has concerned me, is that certain elements of America and the Anglo elites are in so much trouble. Especially when you talk about the Jewish elite, so much in trouble that no one in the world is going to back down, period, until they get done whatever, until they put their machine in motion, which is what they've done. Now, what it portends, we've speculated on this show about that, and soon we're going to find out. But what Bob is preparing you for is that let's call it the morning after, as Bob calls it, the morning after Judgment Day or something. What do you do, even if the Europeans were to call tribunals, and let's say hang everyone who has a direct direct involvement with an attempted genocide against Indo-European children. What if Jesus comes out one morning and hangs them all? What do you do with all the heirs, with all the corporations that actually have our blood on their hands? Well, the only thing you can really do is something like he's talking about. And doing it allows it to go long term, especially with no statute of limitations, which is the key to his approach. What would they try to do? They'll try to get statute of limitations. If there is a statute of limitations, I got a newsflash for them. It won't work either, and it'll end up being something disastrous for them and their families. Simply because most whites, once they learn about this, it won't go away. Whites tend to judge other whites with a great deal of moral retribution. You know, it'll be like, it'll be like the Protestants and the Catholics, except that one side will have great numbers on the others when they learn about these rich families. So they'll have every incentive to put this process in motion. If they do something stupid like a statute of limitations or try to pull that, you know, like hold a committee and get a statute of limitations, it won't hold. It'll probably end up in bloodshed if they did that. Because whites will not tolerate something once the mantra takes hold, once they understand in their head what certain groups have tried to do with them, they won't stop until the whole truth is known, however many hundreds of years that take, until they pay. Now, if you have something creative in place, that allows, a whole process in place, like Bob is talking about, that allows for something more creative, instead of just a bunch of bloodshed or just a bunch of witch trials or something like that, well, that has the ability to go long term, and that serves everyone's interest instead of the alternative. And the alternative, of course, ironically, in my opinion, would happen if in fact they tried to pull a statute of limitations. You know, if they had a statute of limitations of 50 years, well, what happens at a 100-year point? Some new fact comes up. Well, that family's probably going to pay. You know, I don't see it as an in-between, witch trials. It's just whether or not witch trials end up in witch hunts end up in witch trials, which end up in witch burnings, or where witches get fined. What Bob is talking about, witches getting fined, or families of witches getting fined, which is really all you could do anyways. Under international law, that's all you could really do. You obviously would be counterproductive to hang some little blonde descendant of some wealthy scion who invested in our genocide. Bob's talking about something a little more creative, but you gotta understand that he's seven moves out. He's seven moves out. So, people email me because they assume I'm gonna tell them exactly what I think or what's on my mind, and that's fine, but, he's talking about the day after Judgment Day, basically, on some level. He's talking about some future morning where this may be necessary. You may need to know this. Because you're going to have a lot of different parties walking around on this planet that are white, they're wealthy, but they've never personally done anything wrong except been born to a certain family. which may have some blood on their hands or may have invested in something. He's talking about putting something in place that'll make them pay indefinitely and indefinitely and indefinitely. That'll also help out not only our group, but our race and the white nationalists and the paleo-conservative movement in general by ensuring that they never forget and this disease doesn't come back. Because once the process goes in motion, whites will pretty much do it themselves. Yeah, the average white, once they realize what's been done, all you have to do is let the process take over. And the pieces speak for themselves. But I'm already getting emails saying, what on earth is he talking about? Why would they want to tax Jews 2%? There's some parties on this planet really guilty. Just hold on and read the pieces for what they are. Put it away and understand that he's talking to you one morning when you're going to need to know this. That's really what it's for. It's for one morning when you're going to need to know this. And we'll come back to this. We might come back to this one day in a big meeting. Who knows? But I'm going to put these pieces up on my Twitter. And this podcast is a must listen for Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. You need to understand the approach that he's giving you that would work long term against our against anyone involved. Period. And this type of thing won't go away. It is what he calls mental torture. Some would say it's more evil. But the Europeans have threatened tribunals. A lot of different groups have against these particular parties. My opinion. I've speculated before on. that they've done it just to put them, just to make sure they have to put their New World Order machine in motion, or just to have just to ensure that they go to war with Iran. I don't fully know until the, all the events happen. Obviously, we're speculating on the future. But Bob is seven moves out ahead of the mortals, and you need to understand that. So instead of talking about what is he talking about, is he talking about the Jews, is he talking about, Sherry even wrote a very good comment, and she said, shouldn't there be trials for the truly guilty? Of course their descendants shouldn't be hung, although they shouldn't benefit from the ill-gotten wealth either. She doesn't really understand where Bob is going. Bob is seven moves out, Sherry. He's seven moves out, and he sees events happening in the very near future that most of the mortals do not. So let's just save it for then. For when this becomes relevant, and it would become relevant on the spot, if what Bob sees happens. But let's just leave it at that. And I went over these pieces. I've given you my 10 cents on it without being, I've been pretty explicit. Something like this is something pieces like this are invaluable to our struggle long term.